complemented with the website. Can we now move to item 6, which is the substance misuse service update for the Tooside? So I just want to give an update on where we are with the substance misuse service and then broaden that conversation out into actually what the board want to do think about substance misuse. So as the board and many people are aware, there was a challenge in the substance misuse service for the island, which really kind of we were working very closely with the trust and we're working with the board and together to try and resolve that issue. And we came to a final decision that actually the trust felt it was no longer able to provide that service. Again, I'm grateful to the trust and ourselves and the new provider who worked very closely together and had a safe transition. So what I'm going to do is give you a small update of where we are with that service. So the service run by Inclusion, which is a part of the Midlands Partnership NHS Trust, took over the service from the 1st of December, and it has under 25, so this is a young people service and an adult service. They are part of the same thing, but they're very differently come delivered because young people and adults have different needs. It's based in the same place in Carisbrook Road, and things are moving forward. Apologies, I did have some notes, but my IT was done, I couldn't get the presentation across. So the service is currently fully staffed again, which is excellent news, with a bit of coverage from some staff coming across from the mainland to cover a couple of vacancies. And the service is developing and looking at its structure to ensure its resilience going forward. So they're really looking at previously the teams, lots of mini teams in the whole team. Actually, now we've brought that out, so actually we've upskilled the staff so they can all deal with all sorts of issues. One of the key issues was the alcohol service that I think particularly coming from Scotland, and now that's completely up and running and open and taking took referrals from day one. There was a concern that actually, you know, you open the door and there'd be a floodgate, but actually the referrals came in an appropriate way. So again, grateful for CCD colleagues, and we're not just kind of rushing in and sending people needing treatment, and we're finding that's going very well. We've upskilled some of the staff based on the staff on the mainland with an experienced alcohol detoxification nurse. Something else that this service does very well is have volunteers, not in a way that is tokenistic. So if someone's coming through treatment, towards the end of their treatment, they start to think about whether if they would like to volunteer in the service as a volunteer recovery worker. They have 100 hours of training. As they become a volunteer, they are DBS checked, and then they become a volunteer recovery worker for a set period of time, and then they can go off into employment in the care sector work. So we're kind of upskilling them. And so far, since December, we've got 6 volunteers that have started that programme, which is really, really positive. So I think what I can say is it's gone very well. We've had a few minor teething issues. I think I talked to the service manager. They still can't print. Other than that, they're doing very well. So I think it's gone extremely well. And I think what we're planning is let them embed in, and then we'll have some kind of open day where actually people can go down and see what's going on, but we're just going to wait a few months before we overwhelm the service with that. But I think that would be very relevant. And I do know we need to kind of get comms right, so I'm not sure GPs completely know the new setup as well, so we're just working on that currently, so that we're very clear to all our partners what the service offer is and what that is. And I've already talked to people in council about the links with housing and homelessness. And of course, this week just to make sure we've got that right and we're working with the hospitals, including things like the naloxone, which is a way someone has no dose, there's a way that you can bring somebody back, so how do you do that in a safe way? So the service is really important. Paul said, before I move to the next
one, I'm inviting you to answer questions around the room. This is very interesting, this one, because it's the news this morning last night. There was a very relevant point about what you find in the mind if you come through the system, it's useful to do. And there's a buzz through to be a volunteer worker with a charity, and it was a really good news story. So I can't echo what you were saying, so it feels to me like you're absolutely on the right pathway with this. But it'd be interesting to see if there are comments around the room. I think I saw Carol, just being paid the office system.
Okay, thanks ever so much, Simon. It's really good to see that that service is now kicking off on the island. Is there is such a disease. So So I think there are two things, and timing is pivotal. So from a mental health perspective, we are going to be asking our relevant boards to sign off the case following the blueprint around mental health. And those people with dual diagnosis, both mental health issues and substance abuse issues, are not at the minute within that, that business case that we're being asked to sign off. It is really important that our respective services within the trust, within adult social care, we join up in heads, but also with inclusion, that we're dead clear on not only referral pathways, but actually the model that we'll be using for those people with dual diagnosis. They are inevitably those people who suffer the most chaotic lifestyles and who there are at most risk of falling between any gaps in services. If there are gaps in services, those are exactly the people who will find those gaps to fall through. So it's a matter of timing about that, because mental health is at this particular really pivotal point, and we need to ensure that we're clear about how we meet those people. And the second one that you've already mentioned, my contribution, and we share the same government member, now through particularly the emergency housing and homelessness responsibilities and duties that I have, is around, and we're making progress. I'm not going to say too much because I'm mindful that the media is in the room and I don't want to breach any confidentiality because we're not yet there at signing anything. But we have been talking to a couple of providers around the development of wet provision on island. Because I think many of the people that Inclusion and previously IRIS was working with, not having a wet provision on island was massively problematic for then their therapeutic intervention. So we are making some progress as regards to that, and certainly conversation on Friday.
Thank you, Carol. Michelle?
I'm just interested in presently the Inclusion service is quite central on the island, i.e. Newport. And are there any plans to do any satellite clinics out in some of the other areas, particularly when a lot of people don't drive, finances, chaotic lifestyles, and find it difficult to actually to get to Newport. So I wonder if there are any plans to
make a note of that, Simon. You can grab it, Michael and then Claire.
I'm glad actually Michelle raised that and also Carol, and I just want to reach one or two points. I think this whole area of dual diagnosis is extremely important. And I'll go triple diagnosis, because actually I want to talk about toxic treatment, I don't know about the use now. But basically, drug misuse, domestic violence, and mental health issues actually go together. And actually, one of the biggest reasons why children and families go into care. So we do need to have a joined up thing to make sure that people get the services at the right, together joined up at the right time. And again, going back to a family approach within that. I think that I'm concerned about two things. It's great about a lived experience, because we know, particularly in drug misuse, and we have empirical evidence of that, that actually the most effective support workers for people that are coming through this are people who've got lived experience. We know that. And so really encouraging that is really very important, so I'm glad to hear that. I'd like to know more about the integration between homegrown services like Real World Trust and World's Gardens, and I know it's how we're all saying, because I'm very concerned about organisations from the mainland actually having governance, because we've got to build up our own services and our own resilience. So I want to know, how are you involving within the governments the local organisations that have been here for many years, and also how are you making sure there is local governments within that? Because I know from experience on the island, we've had a lot of difficulties for the management of services from the other side of the water.
Okay, you've got that second point.
I think I sort of answered part of Councillor Lilly's question, actually. I think we have to note that, we had a service that wasn't taking any referrals in March, so I am so pleased with what Inclusion have done. And I don't want to go back to the past or relive what had happened, but for a service to come in from the 1st of December and be performing so well, so quickly, is a credit to Inclusion. So mine's not really a question. I'm going to do a bit of a political thing here, sorry about that. Really, just to say that I have been, being a cabinet member, there has been a lot of pressure on myself. You know, Sarah and I have had some quite reasonably heated discussions about when's this going to get sorted, and it has been sorted and sorted incredibly well. My feeling with Inclusion is they have really good practice that they have brought to the island. To sit in meetings with Simon, that he wants to get more involved with housing, rough sleepers and stuff like that, on evidenced work they have done in other areas, is really important for this island, because sometimes we forget what good looks like. So to listen to Councillor Lilly and he's saying, you know, what's the governance and stuff like that, we have to remember the governance wasn't working and it now is, and I think that's really important that we do give that message back to Inclusion. Thank you ever so much for what you're doing. Yes, and we can just carry on doing good and making it better.
So I'm not going to go into a debate about whether it's good or not. All I can say from Council, and I'll use Children's Services as an example, we have had a fantastic relationship with my main colleagues. I think they brought a new dimension to the table. It's reflected by Ofsted, who are, you know, as robust as they are. So I think what the points you've made are to be taken into account. But my view is you go for the best service and the best people you can. Yep. So let's see.
I don't disagree with that. I'm just getting a balance.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely right.
And actually, that we are skilling on the island.
No, that's good, Michael. Thank you for raising it. So Simon, a brief summary, and then any key points of action are useful.
So just to ensure people know that you've reinvigorated the Southern Cities Partnership for the island. So that met, I think, this week as well. And that's all the parts. So that's how we're going to get local integration with people in Sarah and moving about the teams. So I think that is really key. I'm really pleased about that. And we did have to do something very rapid. So I do take on Carol's points. The service specification Youth with Inclusion was one that I was familiar with in Hampshire, based from work with colleagues from Steve's team and from adult service colleagues on the mainland. So I appreciate it wasn't particularly island focused, but it was the starting place. We are looking at how that moves forward and certainly talking to colleagues around the table. And taking Michelle's point, I think it's really key. At this point, I learned their planning clinics out in the community, but they're certainly outreach work. So actually, if someone needed to be visited, they will visit places where people are off. So I'm not sure, unless there's a team perhaps who wants to host something for you once a month, but we're working in that way that it's not just Newport centric. So, but I just want to put this in context of the national growth strategy, which kind of fits alcohol, and there's kind of four strands of that piece of work that I think we just need to think about in Southern Cities Partnership. And then here, it's about reducing demand. So that's really preventative work I'm doing across the piece. We talked about reducing supply, and I look to my colleagues in the uniform to really lead that area. Actually, how do we tackle the supply of drugs? And I know that there's less issue in terms of things over here, but actually what I'm doing with users. Build and recovery, which is a key part of this service, actually handle the recovery, and I'll explain that. And the fourth part, which will be slightly less relevant for us, is global action, so it's a national strategy. I think it would be really useful to think about how what part to play into that strategy as we develop some of the strategy on the island going forward. And it might be worth kind of sharing that in 6 months' time when we're going to finesse that.
Okay, so summarising, thank you everybody for our participation in that one. I'm tempted to say, because we've had a little bit of money right at this year and there, it would be sensible in 6 months' time to have a report back on where we're going. And Sarah, are you comfortable with what you've been hearing? Is there anything you have done good in that?
Just actually to echo the Substance Abuse Partnership this week, I was really impressed with Mark, the manager and his plans, and the ethos that they've brought to the island. So I'm very positive about the way forward.
Okay.
Good.
Okay, that's done. Thank you, Simon. I've got Carol now on all the budgets.